Well, as we come to look at this book of 3 John, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have right now to meditate on it, to reflect on the truth within it. Lord, thank you that we have it in a language that we can read. We thank you for those that gave their lives for translating your word. We thank you for those involved in translation work even now. And Lord, we pray for your spirit to be at work. Lord, we long to be more like the Lord Jesus, but this isn't something that we can do in and of ourselves. So we pray that you would be at work in us through your spirit, that you would change us to make us more like the Lord Jesus. So Lord, give us all ears to listen to your word. I pray that you'd help me to speak clearly, faithfully, and truthfully today. Lord, bless this time, we pray. And we pray this in your Son's name, in our Savior's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I wonder in life if you've been blessed with some great role models, men or women that you look up to, that you've learned much from and perhaps continue to learn much from. I'm certainly grateful for the examples that I've had in my life that I've looked up at and learned much from. I can think of a particular leader in the workplace that really showed me how to bring a team of people together and to work towards a common goal. I can think of great examples of parents that I've had around me that have shown me how to parent, even in the most testing of times which we face as parents. As a more fun example, I've got a role model that's trying to teach me how to cook and different techniques in cooking. There are others that have tried to teach me the theory behind a good golf swing. I don't know how much it's helped, but they've tried and they've been good examples to me. They've been patient. And then when I think back on life, I also think of some of the examples that I've learned what not to do, some of the bad examples in life that I've had. And I'm kind of grateful for those as well. I remember one particular manager at work that was really manipulative and it came back to hurt him. I can think of a particular parent who always used quite aggressive language with their child and then wondered why their child also used that same aggressive language with other children. I've seen a chef that I would love to aspire to be, who's over-seasoned a meal, and unfortunately, whatever he does, disaster has struck and that great flavor is gone. And over the years, I've been told many times by different people to just hit the golf ball, the cricket ball, the tennis ball, just as hard as you can with no thought to technique or timing. As human beings, we learn much from the examples around us, good and bad. And I think it's exactly the same for us as we live our lives as Christians. We learn from the examples around us. And that may be that the reason why God, in his infinite wisdom, includes so many examples for us in his word, the Bible. There are good examples. There are bad examples. There are some indifferent examples. There is also the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And although we're not going to be looking at the Lord Jesus Christ directly today, let's keep in mind as we look at this book of 3 John that John himself was one of Jesus's closest followers. John was one of the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus. So in the back of our minds, keep two things there. One is that John had spent these 3 years observing and learning from the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, that perfect example. So I think when John commends someone to us, or indeed if John rebukes someone, then we should really take note. This man had spent time with the Lord Jesus. And secondly, just have in the back of your mind, well, what would John say about you or I if he was writing to Grace Fellowship, or if he was writing, in my case, to Hayes Lane Baptist Church, what would John say about our example? Well, let's start this roller coaster, because it is going to be a roller coaster today. We're going to look at 3 examples in this book of 3 John, and I'm pleased to say there are more highs than lows, and we actually start on a high, because we're going to look at hospitable Gaius. Hospitable Gaius. Gaius is a great example of showing us hospitality in practice in the early church. There are other examples that we could look at across the Gospels and in the book of Acts, but we're going to look at this example from Gaius, and he is living out what we're instructed through Scripture. Paul says in the book of Romans, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. The writer of the Hebrews says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And Peter also says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. There are instructions in 1 Timothy 3, in Titus chapter 1, that leaders should also be those that are known for practicing hospitality. Leaders should be hospitable in the church. So the man or the woman of God should be someone who practices hospitality. But what does this mean in reality? Well, let's look at Gaius's example. And we see in verse 3 that before anything else, as a Christian, Gaius was faithful to the truth, or faithful to the gospel, faithful to the teachings of the Lord Jesus. But Gaius also recognized the need that this truth had to impact his life. This truth needed to be evident in how he lived. This is what Jesus taught. This is what we see of those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus. I think of Zacchaeus as an example. He gave half his possessions to the poor there and then. He gave four times as much money back to those he had cheated as a tax collector. And he did this all the while welcoming Jesus and offering hospitality to Jesus in his home. Coming back to Gaius, we read that not only was Gaius faithful to the truth, but that he also continued to walk in the truth. The end of verse 3. Walking is moving. Walking is an action. So for Gaius, we know that his faith wasn't just a head knowledge of the gospel and teachings of Christ, but it was a knowledge that impacted how he lived. We see this as he hosts the brothers. He walked his faith. He walked in the truth. I've heard that Christian hospitality sometimes refers to anything that a Christian does in opening up his or her home. But actually, you'll find that when Scripture specifically talks about hospitality, it is mainly hospitality offered to another Christian. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't give or we shouldn't open up our homes to unbelievers. No, I think that is taught elsewhere in Scripture. But where that is taught, that is generally considered an act of love towards our neighbor. And when the word hospitality is used, it's generally always used as an act of love between Christians. That's what we see Gaius doing here as he hosts the brothers. Verse 5, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. And we know Gaius was offering hospitality because in verse 6, which we find out what Gaius was doing, because John actually instructs Gaius to send now these brothers on their way. They were still staying with Gaius when John wrote this letter. How is the world to know that we are Jesus's disciples? Well, Jesus said himself, didn't he? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Christians loving other Christians. That's how people are to know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus. And one way that we can love another Christian is by offering them hospitality. And notice as well, as we look at this example of Gaius, something of the sacrificial nature of hospitality. Because Christian hospitality isn't just about inviting the friends that we get on best with at church back to our house for lunch. It's not about opening up our homes, or perhaps it's opening up our gardens in the current state of lockdown, to a missionary, to a brother or a sister, or to a minister who we have everything in common with. No, these brothers, we read going back to verse 5, well, they were strangers to Gaius. He knew they were Christians. The term brothers is used by John, and he knew they'd obviously been sent by John himself, but they were still strangers to Gaius. This is so different, isn't it, from the world around us. understandably, perhaps today, we're all the more cautious about who we let into our homes. And let's be clear as well, I don't think John here is in any way saying be blind to other biblical principles as we offer hospitality. John's not saying that a Christian man who's having trouble in his marriage should immediately offer hospitality to the young female student who needs a temporary place to live, who's just joined church. No, John's not saying that. He's not saying that the single lady should immediately offer hospitality to the married man who's coming to speak on his own on a Sunday. However, what we do know is that as Christians, we should offer hospitality when we are in a position to do so. This could be offering care, food, maybe even a bed, like hospitable Gaius was with these fellow brothers. We should practice hospitality. This is a way that we can walk in the truth, that we can live out our faith. This is a way that we can partner with people in the work of the gospel. That's what we read in verse 8, so that we may work together for the truth. Maybe this is how the Lord will call you or I. Maybe it's not to proclaim the gospel directly in a public environment, but we can help those that will. We can help those working in Christian unions around the universities in the country. This is how we show the world that we are Jesus's disciples. And sorry, I can't move on without just commenting a little bit more on verse 6, because I think it's clear, isn't it, that Gaius was enjoying the blessing of these brothers so much that he hasn't actually sent them on to do their gospel work. In verse 6, John has to say to send them on to do what they were called to do, because it can be a huge blessing to be hospitable. A couple of years ago now, Michelle took on the role at our church of looking after the hospitality for visiting ministers, managing the rota. We had already been on that rota. I was a little bit nervous when Michelle offered to take on that rota, because I knew that suddenly when someone double books, or when there's a date that no one can cover or no one offers, well, generally then it's whoever's managing the rota that has to offer their home and offer the hospitality. And we can be quite busy as a couple. We're busy at church in the morning, busy in the evening. We've got a young family. Sometimes Lucy or Sam can not be as well behaved as what we would like. So I didn't mind being on the rota, but suddenly this possibility of being hospitable more frequently to people that we didn't know that well, that were men and women of God serving the Lord. Well, having the visiting speaker and his wife around, it made me a little bit nervous. But you know, we've yet to have a bad day, a bad experience. We've thoroughly enjoyed the experience of being hospitable. It's been a blessing to us. We've learned so much from those that have spent time with us and shared their experience of the Lord Jesus in their lives, who have prayed with us. We've share together what God is doing in our lives together. I have to say, as a visiting speaker, that Michelle and I have always really appreciated and enjoyed and been blessed by the hospitality offered at Grace Fellowship, whether that's been directly after the service or in someone's home. So you might be thinking, well, why are you even talking about this today, Malcolm, if you recognize this is something as a church that we practice and we practice it well? Why are you talking about it today when we're in this stage of lockdown, and actually it's difficult to offer hospitality in social bubbles and with social distancing? Well, I think it's always good, isn't it, to be reminded of instruction in Scripture and to look at good examples. But maybe now is the perfect time just to take stock, to take a step back. Which members of the church have you not had around to your house? Which members has it been some time since you offered any form of hospitality? Maybe you can prioritize them as and when lockdown, the measures continue to reduce. Perhaps you can offer your garden now to someone who hasn't got a garden, to be able to come round and to socially distance and pray together. And maybe if you've never had the visiting speaker, well, you could offer to have the visiting speaker when the church reopens. Don't just rely on the usual people. Hospitality, sadly, can become quite burdensome if it's just dependent on a few individuals. It's much better if the whole church tries to practice it. And you don't need to have your own home either to offer hospitality. I was really keen when I was preparing to think, well, there are so many other examples where you as a Christian can try and offer hospitality. Maybe as and when lockdown finishes and the church reopens, you can serve by being the first at the church building on a Sunday morning to welcome your brothers and sisters, to welcome any visitors that arrive. Maybe you can join, I don't know whether you have one there, we certainly have one here, the tea and coffee rota. What a way to be able to offer hospitality within the church building. Maybe you've never felt hospitable, or maybe you've had a bad experience in the past. And if that's the case, well, I would ask you, well, remember where it starts for Gaius. Gaius was faithful to the truth. He goes back to the gospel, back to the teachings of the Lord Jesus. So read more about hospitality in the Bible. Pray, ask the Lord to help you to recover from that bad experience, or to make you a more willing brother or sister to be hospitable. Sometimes the smallest act of hospitality can mean the world to another brother or sister in Christ. Well, after such a high by looking at hospitable Gaius, we come crashing down now. I did tell you it was going to be a roller coaster, because we're going to look at Diotrephes now. And I've given Diotrephes the title Heretic Diotrephes. Here are some very sobering verses in the Bible. And here is also a huge warning for us as Christians, and a huge warning for us in our churches. A heretic, and to be clear on this, this is the definition according to dictionary.com, is someone who is a professed believer and yet has opinions contrary to those accepted by his or her church and rejects doctrines prescribed by that church. There probably isn't a more critical title I could have given Diotrephes than heretic Diotrephes. So am I right to do so? Well, let's look at the evidence that John gives in verses 9 and 10. Firstly, we find out that John had already written, actually, to the church. Here is a letter that we're reading now that he wrote to Gaius, but actually previously he'd already written to the church. And in verse 9, we read that Diotrephes, well, he wants nothing to do with the Apostle John and his believers. Why is that? Why is that? Well, because we read that Diotrephes loved to be first. And I think when we read this in Scripture, well, alarm bells have to be ringing in our ears, don't they? All through Scripture, it's humility that God desires his people to seek. We see this all the way through the Bible. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Psalm 25, Proverbs 3:34. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Micah 6, verse 8. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. The Lord Jesus himself taught this, that the greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew 23, 11 to 12. Well, what a contrast here in 3 John. Diotrephes was a man who just, he loved to be first. Friends, as Christians, we should put other people before ourselves. I wonder, what are the areas in your life, in my life, where to our shame we still love to be first, or perhaps we love to be second or third? How do we react when we're accidentally missed out on an email? Are we gracious about it, or do we find ourselves needing to comment quite strongly about it? You missed me out on this communication. How do we react when we end up being the last to hear about some news in our family, in the church. We don't want to be last to hear about something, do we? We prefer being first. And let's not be proud. Maybe we're saying, well, I don't mind. I don't have to be first. But maybe we don't want to be last, though, do we? What is it that the Lord Jesus calls us to be as we serve? And leaders in our churches, unlike Diotrephes, who actually may well have been the pastor, if you look at the authority and the decisions that he seems to be making unopposed in verses 9 and 10, he may well have been the pastor. Well, leaders in our churches, unlike Diotrephes, well, they should be shining examples of putting other people first. It's funny, when I was thinking about this, and I'm down here and I can see our garden out through the window. And on the garden, sometimes where we've got a couple of little football goals, and it's not big, but we can play a little game of football out there. And I love doing that because my children, they listen to me, and that they want to be on my team because I'm probably still just a little bit better than them at the moment. And it's great. And then suddenly last year, my two boys started coming with me on Saturday mornings, and we do a gospel outreach, a football club on a Saturday morning at our church. And at that football club, I serve with another Christian brother, Coach Tim. And Coach Tim actually he's a proper coach. He's done his FA badges. And actually Coach Tim is also a slightly better footballer, maybe quite a bit better footballer than I am. And suddenly I found, rather than being the first person that my children would listen to, Joshua and Sam, well, now they want to listen to Coach Tim. They can see he's a bit better. They can see he understands a bit more about the game of football than I do. That's quite humbling. Was this the situation in a far more serious context for Diotrephes? Was this his fear that he would no longer be first for his church if they read this letter from the Apostle John? One of the pillars of the early church, was he going to start to lose his audience? He was a man who loved to be first. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Not only did Diotrephes want to be first, but as I've alluded to, he completely rejected. He wanted nothing to do with the Apostle John. Now, I have to say at this point, if our leaders in our churches become aware that a visiting speaker, or indeed a visitor, arrives at Grace Fellowship who claims to be a Christian and yet doesn't agree with all that's in the Bible, or doesn't live as someone who looks to the Bible as being an authority in their life, well, it may be right that they choose to have nothing more to do with that individual. They may politely say, please don't come back to our fellowship if you don't believe what we believe. But here in verse 9 of our text, we're talking about the Apostle John here. This is a man who knew and proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say, there is something wrong with us or with our churches if we reject a speaker who is teaching truth from the Bible. If we reject a teacher who we know has a track record of teaching well from the Bible and is known to be a godly man. John himself likely knew about some of the problems within this church. Maybe he expressed concerns in the letter that he originally wrote. Maybe Diotrephes read part of that letter, which may have been quoted in Psalm 34, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. A faithful minister of the gospel will, through God's word, challenge us as Christians, correct us, indeed sometimes rebuke us, as well as encourage us and teach us from God's word. And that's not always easy to hear. In fact, some would say it's never easy to hear. Think about your own lives. Are you always quick to rejoice when a brother or a sister comes up and challenges you about something within your walk as a Christian that perhaps isn't quite right? We may not recognize it as being sinful, but it's pointed out to us that actually maybe we're causing a brother or sister to stumble. Do we rejoice as we're told that, or do we find that hard? Diotrephes found that really hard. He just rejected it. When I look back on my life, I've never found it easy when someone has tried to gently correct me or to challenge me about something, but I do rejoice when I look back at it. And I'm glad that I did listen, because the Lord used that messenger to change something in my life. Heretic Diotrephes didn't want anything to do with John. Here is a man who gossiped maliciously about John and his fellow Christians. Here is a man who didn't practice hospitality. He didn't welcome the brothers that were sent. And in fact, it's worse than that, because he threatens, doesn't he, to put out of the church anyone who does offer hospitality. I wonder, when I read 3 John earlier in the service, did you consider that Gaius himself may well have been put out of the church by the time he had read this letter from John? So let's learn from this bad example today. And if nothing else, remember where the warning starts with heretic Diotrephes. Here was a man who loved to be first. Well, thirdly, and in verse 12, we come to someone who I've given the title Demetrius, Honourable Demetrius. Demetrius is believed, most commentators believe, that this is the man that John actually chose as a good, honourable man, a faithful man, to go and take this letter to Gaius. He may well have been the man that delivered this letter. And I think in order to fully understand just how good example Demetrius is, well, we need to read in verse 12 the context of the instruction of verse 11. Before we read verse 12. So this is what we read in verse 11 to give us the context. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, i.e. Gaius, don't imitate Diotrephes, who I've just been talking about, but imitate what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. And then he comes to Demetrius. So after the sobering verses on Diotrephes, John instructs Gaius to firstly imitate good, and then he follows that immediately by talking about Demetrius. So here's a second good example for us. Demetrius, we read, is a man of God who everyone speaks well of. He seems to be respected by everyone. Demetrius is a God-honoring man who, clearly like Gaius, walked in the truth, was faithful to the truth, but he also walked in the truth. He lived out his faith, and this was observed by many. God's working us as Christians through the Spirit to make us more like him. What we call sanctification is an ongoing work. And I want to encourage you all this morning that God is patient with us. If you're not a Christian, well, know that if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, he is patient with you. He will slowly change us. Sometimes he can change us quickly. Sometimes it takes time. Maybe in your life as a Christian, there's a role model that you have in mind that everyone seems to speak well of. Maybe someone at Grace Fellowship, someone in particular that just, whoever you speak to, they speak well of that individual. Perhaps you've noticed that, like Demetrius here in 3 John, that what you're being taught week by week from the Bible is actually evident in this individual's life. And you're really encouraged because you see something taught from the Bible. And yeah, actually, that's how that Christian acts. It's as if the Bible, just, I think that's what John is saying here of Demetrius, what is written in the Bible, this is how a Christian should live. And some of that, we know he wasn't perfect, but some of that was seen in the life of Demetrius. Maybe you listened to a sermon on Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit, and you can just think of that individual. Yeah, I see love and patience in that person. It's as if the Bible is bearing testimony to that individual. Praise God if you have a role model like that in your life. Thank God for them. Now, we still make mistakes, and there are areas in our lives where God needs to mold us to make us more like him, where we need to look to God's help to put to death our earthly nature, as Paul puts it in his letter to the Colossians. But if we're Christians listening to this message today, this has to be our aim, doesn't it, for our own lives, that people would speak well of us, that people would see what is being taught from the Bible is reflected, at least in part, in our lives. That should be our desire. If we're genuinely saved, and I'm not saying that this happens overnight, but like Demetrius, we should want to be examples to others. We should be ones that are practicing hospitality, ones who are partnering with other brothers and sisters to proclaim the good news of the Gospels, Christians who don't mind not being first, Christians who actively decide not to gossip. Heretic Diotrephes wanted nothing to do with the Apostle John, and yet Honourable Demetrius even comes with an apostolic recommendation. Gaius knows this recommendation is tried and tested. Verse 12, we also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. What a weighty little book 3 John is. It has so much to teach us, far more than what I can talk about this morning. Let us endeavour to imitate the good that we see in hospitable Gaius, in honourable Demetrius. Then let's pray that in turn we would be good examples to our brothers and sisters in Christ for their encouragement as together we walk in the truth. And let's also heed the warning of heretic Diotrephes. Let's lose that desire to be first, second, or even third. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your help as we've looked at 3 John this morning. And Father, we want to pray, we want to ask you for forgiveness, because firstly, we acknowledge there are way too many times in our lives where we desire to be first, where we desire to be second, third. Lord, help us to put other people before ourselves. Help us to learn and to heed this warning of Diotrephes in this passage this morning. And Lord, thank you for the examples of Gaius. Thank you for the example of Demetrius. Lord, we pray that we would be good examples to our brothers and sisters around us. Lord, we thank you for the examples that we have in our lives, those people, those Christians that are well spoken of. Lord, thank you for directing us and giving them to us in our lives. And Lord, we pray that in your mercy that you would use us to be good examples, that the Bible would bear testimony to how we are living as Christians. And Lord, we don't pray this at all for our own satisfaction. Lord, we pray this for your glory. We pray this so that men and women may see that we are your disciples, that we love one another, and that we long to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your help this morning. Please bless us over the week ahead to live and to walk in truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.